Hi everyone, my name is Sarah. I'm a master's student at McGill University, and my master's work has focused on the role of the RAB 6.2 GTPAs in the regulation of RAS and small RNAs in C. elegans. So we're interested in studying how signaling from the epidermal growth factor receptor, or EGFR, is regulated. When EGFR signals through the RAS-MAP kinase pathway, it promotes cell growth and proliferation, and as such, it's often overactive in cancers. And so there's a great interest in understanding a bit better how it's regulated. More specifically, our lab is interested in understanding how trafficking proteins and pathways can regulate signaling. And so that's why we were interested in studying the RAB6 GTPases. RAB6 belongs to the family of RAB GTPases, which decorates nearly every membrane in the cell, and RAB GTPases in association with membranes will direct transport processes to and from those membranes by binding to a variety of effector proteins. Many RAB proteins have been shown to regulate signaling, including from the EGFR. However, this is not the case for RAB6, and so this is something we wanted to explore. How we study EGFR signaling in the lab is using C. elegans vulval development as a model. The C. elegans vulva is required for egg laying and mating, and it develops from a group of six cells called the vulva precursor cells, or VPCs. And induction of the vulval cell fate in VPCs is dependent on activation of EGFR signaling. As such, defects in signaling, whether there's too much or too little, will translate into vulval phenotypes that we can assess under the microscope. Now, if we take a closer look at what happens in a VPC during the induction, this is the first cartoon at the top left. You can see that these cells are polarized, with the receptor localizing to both the basolateral and the apical membrane. However, it's the basolateral localization that's important for signaling, because that's where the ligand is secreted and it can engage with the receptor. A protein complex made up of LIN2, LIN7, and LIN10, which is depicted in green, is responsible for the basolateral localization of the receptor. And if you mutate any of these components, you abolish the basolateral localization of the receptor and you lose signaling, resulting in an underinduced vulval phenotype. Now, before I dive into the results, I need to introduce one method that's very important, and that's VPC induction scoring. And this is a great method because it allows us to translate these qualitative vulval phenotypes, which I just introduced, into quantitative readouts of EGFR signaling, which produce a more precise assessment of changes in signaling. Now, how it works is that there are six VPCs in C. elegans, and in wild-type animals, only three of those get induced in response to EGFR signaling. So once they activate the pathway, they will divide to give rise to a specific number of cells each, and these progeny cells will position themselves at known locations around the developing vulva. And this is what I'm showing you in figure 1A. The white arrowheads are indicating the progeny of these cells, so we can really identify them under the microscope. And every time we identify a full VPC lineage as having been induced, we give it a score of 1. So in wild-type animals, because only 3 cells get induced, the VPC induction score is always 3. Now in mutants in which there's too little signaling taking place, less than 3 cells get induced, and this is associated with a vulvalous phenotype. Conversely, too much signaling results in a multivulva phenotype in which the VPC induction score is greater than 3. So I'm just going to provide you a brief overview of the results without getting into all of the details, because I've written a lot of stuff for you to go through. So first, to test for a role for RAB6.2 in regulating EGFR RAS-MAP kinase signaling in the context of vulva induction, we looked at whether loss of RAB6.2 could suppress the vulvalous phenotype of a LIN3 mutant. So LIN3 encodes the EGF-like ligand, and as expected, if you lose the ligand, this generates a very strong vulvalous phenotype, as you can see in figure 2b. On average, less than 1 cell is being induced. Now, if you generate LIN3 RAB6.2 double mutants, you're able to increase the average number of induced VPCs, indicating that we're restoring signaling. So the way we interpret this is that RAB6.2 must be an antagonistic force on the pathway, because you start with this background in which very little signaling is taking place. And the only way we can restore signaling is by removing something that's typically putting the brakes on this process. So in figure 3, we proceeded to confirm this with other genetic mutants. Here in A, we're dealing with LIN2, and in B, LIN10. And you can see that similarly, combining RAB6.2 to these mutants is able to suppress the vulvalous phenotype, further indicating that RAB6.2 antagonizes EGFR RAS-MAP kinase signaling. Now, skipping ahead to figure 5, another interesting phenotype that we found is that RAB6.2 mutant worms have enhanced sensitivity to RNAi. So what I'm showing you in panels A, B, and C is RNAi knockdown of three different genes that do not produce any phenotype when knocked down in wild-type animals. However, you can see that in RAB6.2 mutants, even though the extent varies, they always produce a phenotype. So this suggests that RAB6.2 mutants are hypersensitive to RNAi. And this is a well-described phenotype in worm that we call the Eerie phenotype for enhanced response to RNAi. And what this indicates is that in the absence of RAB6.2, you have a dysregulation of small RNAs such that the worms respond more strongly to exogenous RNAi. Now, Eerie mutants often also show enhanced transgene silencing, and this is exactly what we see with our RAB6.2 mutants as well. So in figure 6A and B, we're looking at two different transgenes that are expressed from unstable extrachromosomal arrays, and I'm plotting the proportion of worms that express the transgenes in their VPCs. So the top bar is the transgene expressed in a wild-type background, and the rest is in a RAB6.2 mutant background. And you can see that even though the extent varies, there's always a significant loss of expression in the VPCs of RAB6.2 mutants when compared to wild-type animals. So transgene silencing is also regulated by small RNAs, so this really reinforces this notion that RAB6.2 mutants have an Eerie phenotype and that this is caused by dysregulation of small RNAs. And this was particularly interesting to us because we're thinking that small RNAs might explain how RAB6.2 antagonizes Wolfram induction. So if I bring you back to the cartoon at the top left, this time the hypothesis one, RAB6.2, like any other RAB GTPases, acts by binding to effector proteins, and one of these effectors is VPS52. And VPS52 was shown to promote the activity of microRNAs in C. elegans, including the LEAD7 family of microRNAs, which is known to repress RAS. So what we're thinking is happening is that RAB6.2 interacts with VPS52. This promotes the activity of the LEAD7 family of microRNAs, which in turn represses RAS, leading to repression of the whole downstream cascade that leads to Wolfram induction. So to test whether RAB6.2 had a role to play in regulating microRNAs, we performed RNA sequencing. So the results are displayed in figure 7, A and B. You can see that broadly microRNA levels are unchanged in RAB6.2 mutants, but if we look more closely at the LEAD7 family members, which are depicted here in B, there are some mild but not necessarily biologically significant changes. So we looked for other ways by which RAB6.2 could be regulating the activity of microRNAs. And so being a trafficking protein, we thought that it might act to recruit components of microRNA-induced silencing. So in figure 8, what I'm showing you is the endogenous microRNA-specific argonaut, ALG1, tagged with GFP. In the VPCs of wild-type animal, ALG1 localizes either to diffuse structure to the perinuclear region or to puncta in the cytoplasm. What was very striking is that the punctate localization of ALG1 was completely abolished in the VPCs of RAB6.2 mutants, suggesting that RAB6.2 might regulate microRNAs by recruiting components that are the effectors of microRNA-mediated silencing, such as ALG1. Now, finally, we wanted to see whether the LEAD7 family of microRNAs itself could be involved in RAS repression in the context of Wolfram induction. So we tested for the ability of miR48, which is one of the LEAD7 family members, whether loss of miR48 could suppress the volvulus phenotype of LIN10 or LIN2 mutants in figure 9A and B. Now, you can see that even though loss of miR48 in these backgrounds increases the average number of induced VPCs, this is not always statistically significant, but there's still an increasing trend, so maybe miR48 has a minor role to play in antagonizing RAS in the context of Wolfram induction. We thought that maybe removing miR84, which is another LEAD7 family member, could enhance this if we assume that these two members are redundant. And this is what we did in C by generating a triple mutant between LIN10, miR48, and miR84, but we don't see any additive effect. So it's possible that only miR48 has a role to play in antagonizing vulva induction. So to conclude, Irby's all suggests that there is a role for RAP6.2 in antagonizing RAS signaling in the context of vulva induction, as well as in the regulation of small RNAs. Now, what we're doing right now is we're confirming and validating these results with a second allele of RAP6.2 because all this work was done with the OK2254 allele, and we're also testing for rescue of the phenotypes with a rescuing transgene. Now, although RAP6.2 regulates the localization of ALG1 to puncta, it's possible based on our latest results that microRNAs are not the only way by which RAP6.2 might regulate RAS signaling. And so I take you back to figure 7a here just to mention briefly that the ErgO126G RNA class is significantly depleted in RAP6.2 mutants. And these are primary endogenous short interfering RNAs. And so it's possible that these siRNAs are also contributing to the RAP6.2 phenotypes. And so it'll be interesting to look at whether the Argonauts in this pathway are also mislocalized in RAP6.2 mutants, or whether loss of Argonauts in this pathway can suppress the vulvalized phenotypes of a variety of mutants. And so these experiments will be informative in seeing whether there is a link between the regulation of small RNAs by RAP6.2 and the antagonistic force that it has on EGFR RAS MAP kinase signaling.